This chat that I have with my next guest has been a very long time coming. Not in the sense because it's taken ages for us to actually meet and get together, but I've been sitting on this podcast for so long because for a long time it just didn't feel like the right time to unleash this incredible inspirational chat into the world. And I know now is the time. I present you the wonderful Yaella Raber. She's a 30-something female powerhouse. She's built a multinational, multi-million dollar company from the ground up. She's a mum and she's a speaker and a business coach, a boss ass lady at that. Now, we talk in this episode ways that the universe can communicate with you, what life would be like if you lost everything, your marriage, success, money, family, and all of those things that made her who she was. Who was she after that? We also talk about being present in the right now. It's part one of the super inspirational chat that I have with Yaella Raber. Your adventurous life begins the moment you step out of your comfort zone. And that's why I started the Misadventurous podcast. I'm Tiffany Rouge and I'm all about personal growth, changing through setbacks, standing strong in the face of injustice and defining your own worth. I'm your host and I'm connecting you with knowledge, voices and stories of success. Women who have channeled their inner lady boss, business leaders, spirituality and connection so that you can enjoy your life, make some serious bank and live the life that you choose. Just a quick thing before all of the wisdom. I want to thank you for being a Misadventurous podcast listener. Whether you've listened to one or all of the episodes I've made for you, seriously, you rock. Did you know that I have another podcast called the Sound Growth Podcast? It's with my business coach, Ron Lal, and we talk all things mindset, thought design, and business development. So check it out if you're an entrepreneur, startup, or if you're looking to grow your business. Just search for the Sound Growth Podcast, however you're listening to this right now. And if you've ever thought about delving into the podcast realm yourself, I'm your girl. I make podcasts for people just like you. Whether you need help getting started, you have an idea and a mic, or you want someone to do the whole thing for you, get yourself onto www.sanctuarymedia.co. That's www.sanctuarymedia.co. That's where you can learn lots of amazing things about podcasting and get in touch with me to figure out how I can help you share your message with the world.
Do you know what your purpose is?
I don't.
Mm.
And I'm not sure we all have just one purpose.
Okay.
I actually believe that our purpose, our collective purpose, is to be the best, highest version of ourselves and to offer that in service of others, to support others in some way, shape, or form. But what that exactly looks like, I think, is different for everyone. And I believe is also different for, like, on a personal level in different times of your life.
Right.
And there's this thing that I like to call, you know, the purpose mindfuck, because it's such a big word. And it's such a fashionable word. And these days, everyone is supposed to have this big purpose, this big vision. And if it isn't right out there, like on the level of Gandhi and Mother Teresa, it's not a purpose.
Right.
And I believe that can get a lot of people, myself included at times, completely frozen, completely overwhelmed by the idea that they need to have this grand, bright, super clear, laser sharp purpose that they live their lives for. And very few people are lucky to have that super clear idea, this vision of this is who I am and this is what I'm going to do in the world.
I find that that tends to be quite momentary as well for people who do have it, because once they get it, or, you know, it's like that purpose, who they're striving to be, that once they have it, they're like, who am I now? What am I doing?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. And I feel like it changes. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Thank God it changed. Mm. I mean, the things that that were my purpose 10, 15, 20 years ago, I mean, I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for my pursuit of that. It made me who I am today. It served me very well. It's brought me far in life. And it doesn't fit me at all anymore.
Mm.
And there's this beautiful quote by Rebecca Campbell. And she said, and I might butcher it a little bit because I can't really quote it verbatim, but she said something along the lines of, if you just dare to follow the breadcrumbs of what lights you up, you inevitably end up lighting up the world around you.
Oh, I love that.
I love that. I recall that all the time.
Yes.
I love that so much because all of a sudden with that quote, that idea that it had to be something grand, that it had to be something life-changing and not just for me, but for others in the world and, you know, humanity, that was actually holding me back, dissipated. And I realized that if I just got the permission slip, which no one really needed, but that quote for me was that permission slip, mm-hmm. and grew a pair and dared to actually follow the breadcrumbs of what light me up. And it can be that simple, just following what gives you joy, what brings you energy, that through that, every breadcrumb will bring you closer to that purpose. And when you dare to follow that, without even trying, you will be of service. You will end up lighting up the world around you.
Wow.
And I love that.
Yeah, I really love that too.
Yeah.
It's really strange to kind of hear that coming from a place that it really doesn't seem like, it seems like you've had a purpose or you've had something that you thought you might have wanted in the past and then just kind of barricaded through it and like gone through that feeling of massive, like, who am I? What am I doing now? Which is really, really great because I consider you like a very influential, successful woman. Like, I think of you as a boss lady.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you call yourself a boss lady?
Some days. Yeah. Some days, I think.
By the way, you look like a boss lady right now with the red lipstick and the blazer.
You know what? That's a purposeful thing. Like, I was feeling like absolute shit earlier today.
Right.
I was so tired and I thought, okay, you know what? Sometimes you just need to not fake it till you make it, mm-hmm. but kind of do it until you become it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
yeah. I wasn't feeling it. And then sometimes you just need some red lipstick. Perfect. And high heels. And, you know, that's all it takes.
Do you love red lipstick and high heels?
Again, some days I'm giving like a little bit of shitty answers, but I love the feeling mm-hmm. of stepping into that persona, into that, what you called boss babe energy, and you feel it. You feel yourself transform, and that's what I love. I mean, I'm not at all a fashionista or not a girly girl at all, but I love the power of creating an environment, whether that's a certain look, whether that's putting yourself in a physical environment, can even be an online environment, a group of people mm-hmm. that can instantly change your energy, your vibe, your mood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really powerful when you realize you get just like you actually at will can step into something else and you can just kind of, you know, try them on for size, like different masks.
I think in the same way, though, you can do that, but you also have that influential power and that energy brought onto you. But when you are putting that out in a group full of other people, they are getting that energy too.
Totally. And it's getting mirrored back to you. And I think like that is a give and take, a reciprocal thing that happens.
Yeah.
And it feeds off each other. And that's very contagious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
That's really profound. How did you come across some, you know, that sort of wisdom and theory?
Oh, well, I have my moments. Well, you know what the thing is? I'm 35 still. This is my birthday month, but I'm claiming my 35 as long as I can.
It can be your second 35, 35th.
Actually, I'm fine. I'm almost 36. No, I'm 35, but I feel like I've kind of already lived more than most people do in this time span.
Mm.
from, you know, a very turbulent childhood to moving abroad and going to university when I was 16.
Wow.
And then, you know, I met my partner when I was 19, got married at 22.
Right.
Had children at 24, started my own business.
Oh my gosh, you've done all of these milestones and you're only 35?
Yes.
Dang,
and then,
girl.
And then some. So then I grew that business. I had two children. I grew that business from my kitchen table
right.
to a multinational, multi-million dollar business. Moved to New Zealand. I'm originally from Amsterdam. That's literally the other side of the world. And got divorced after 15 years.
Wow.
Sold my business.
Was the business connected with the divorce, like with the husband or?
The sale was in a way.
Okay.
Although I have to say like it was time. Mm. And this is one of those things where I met someone in Bali a couple of months ago and, you know, I was in Ubud and I was sitting in a cafe and, you know, it's a bunch of like-minded hippies, my place. So everyone's talking to everyone and everyone's just, you know, your new best friend. And I was talking to someone who said something really beautiful. And he said, you know, the universe first sends you a feather, then a brick, and then a bus.
Yep.
Yeah. So the feather's like a gentle little nudge of something happening, this little, you know, whisper in the back of your head of like, oh, maybe I should change something. Which is quite easy to still push aside and mentally override. And then the brick is usually something that's quite a shock to the system. And if you're like me and you are completely in your own world and refuse to listen, there's a bus. And when the bus hits, you know, it's a bus that hits you. So that's what happened with, well, basically everything that I thought was my life a year ago. It's just a little over 12 months ago. But the sale of the business, whilst the timing and the way it happened was definitely connected to the fact that my 15-year marriage broke down, it was something that I could have seen coming and probably should have done much earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's a beautiful business. I love it still. But it was just time for me to move on. And every time I try to, my ego, fear, you know, the part of me that thought that was my identity, you know, back in the day, I really was a boss babe and that's all I was. Held
on. Still are, right?
Well, yes, but I thought at the time that it was the business, it was the company, it was the success, it was the money, it was the status that made me that.
Right.
And it took me losing that and a lot more to realize it had nothing to do with all of that.
Uh-huh.
I really thought that all those external forces, even my marriage, even my family, the business, the success, that made me who I was. And if I didn't have that,
mm-hmm.
then what would I be? Turns out pretty awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I agree 100%. I feel like my situation was very similar to yours in the same way about like really marrying who you are as a person, your identity with what you did as a job. And for me, it was radio announcer TIFF. And it was like who I was and I couldn't get away from it. And I loved it at the time, but then the forceful evacuation of that, you know, having a step away from it, not by choice, and then going, wow, what pieces, who am I after all of this?
Yes. And what else is possible? Because if I've seen one thing is that at the times where I really, honest to God, believe that my life was falling apart, I can now, with just a little bit of distance, just it's a matter of months, we're not talking like great hindsight, but I can now already see that where I thought it was falling apart, it was actually coming together. Mm. And that sense of potential is amazing. And it's terrifying. Because it's like all of a sudden there's like literally a clean slate and anything is possible. And all those things that kept me safe and kept me, that defined me, also kept me there. It caps you, it cock blocks you from anything else, because if that's what you are, then that's it.
Yeah.
And if that limit, if that cap is all of a sudden popped, then the potential is limitless, and that can feel so exciting and freaking overwhelming and terrifying.
What was the turning point for you? How did that kind of come to you? Was it lots of different ways, or was there a moment kind of what did you start doing after the sale and the kind of the extrication of you going from being boss babe owning your own business to being boss babe Yayella?
Yeah. I don't think there was like a specific moment. It was more of a gradual process, but I think the main change, the main thing that I've done differently these past months than I've ever done in my life, is I've allowed myself to be present and real with what is.
Mm.
So in like the old Yayella would always like I was and in a way obviously still am, I'm still myself, and these are parts of my character as well, but I was always hustling, grinding, pushing, mentally overriding any, you know, sign of weakness in my perception of it.
Mm.
And I think the beginning of changing that and of learning to first of all see and then accept and maybe even love the boss babe Yayella without all the external validation came with being willing to sit in the shit, to sit in the uncertainty, to sit in the not knowing. Mm. Like I'm a person, you can't, like for me, like making a 5-year plan is like porn. It's delicious. I'm a woman of lists and systems and plans and tools and templates. And my God, that, you know, floats my boat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is useless and doesn't do much. And although I will always combine the two, I will always, there's this thing, there's this word I invented, I make up words all the time. And it's one of my favorite concepts now. And I like to call it flussle, which is that sweet spot between flow and hustle.
Oh, I like that.
I know, it sounds nice, right?
It's got a great ring to it.
Flussle, yeah. Like change approved. So, and I think, you know, you need both. And I lived a large chunk of my life, 99.9% in the hustle mode,
mm-hmm.
which gets you really far. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm not shaming one or the other. It gets you really far. It's very productive. It's very, yeah, it gets you whatever you want to get. And it also depletes you because it comes from a constant state of push. So, and then there's, you know, flow, just being with what is, which is beautiful, which for me is one of the most difficult things to do because it's so much easier to just kind of mentally make a plan and a checklist and tick that off than accept that I don't really know what to do. And even if I did, I'm just, you know, what I need to do is just kind of be with it, not do anything about it, just be with it. And they need each other. They're kind of opposing forces, but they're also like intrinsically attached to each other.
Mm.
Because if you have just that hustle, like I had for so long, it will get you far, but only that far. And inevitably, you'll end up burning yourself out. It will manifest physically, emotionally, in all of the ways.
For sure. And you don't get time to enjoy what you're hustling for.
No. And besides the time, you don't even have the capability to enjoy.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things that shocked me most when I started kind of my, call it whatever, personal development journey a couple of years ago, and people were asking me, or one of the coaches I was working with asked me about something, I can't even remember what, how does that feel? And I couldn't answer the question, not because I was being a dick, but just because I had not actually stopped to feel.
Hmm.
She's like, no, but I mean, where do you feel it in your body? Like, you know, is your jaw tight? I looked at her like she was speaking like Mandarin. I had no idea what she was saying. And that just showed me how far from yourself that constant hustle will bring you. And on the other end, if you are completely like a Zen master and completely in flow and completely just surrendering to what is all the time, you will not get anywhere, or not anywhere, you know, where you want to go to. It requires that combination, and it requires those levers to be moved at different times. Sometimes call for like more hustle and push and just going and pushing. Mm. And sometimes call for being. And that is a skill I am only just beginning to learn. And that is for me, that being with what is, was the beginning of, yeah, of really a new version of me and of my life. Mm. I think that is essential.
It's interesting because, like, do you believe in a work-life balance then?
No. Mm. No. I believe that is one of the biggest bullshit stories we've been fed.
See, I find that really interesting because it sounds like that whole flow, hustle, flussle thing, it seems like it kind of goes together with a work-life balance. Tell me more.
What I really dislike about the idea of work-life balance is that it automatically places it outside of each other, and it kind of demonizes one of them. Work-life balance implies that, first of all, work is not part of your life, because those are very different things, and work is like the price you have to pay, the bad thing, the evil thing you have to do to have a life. To me, that is ridiculous. I mean, this is it. This is our life. There's one of them. And work and contributing and creating is an essential part of that. It's an essential part of our life, first of all, just for practical reasons. And second of all, because we all have a deep-rooted need to do something, to be either of service or to create something or to be connected to others. I don't care how, like, if you have all the money in the world and you'd never have to work again, still people create, whether that is through art, through volunteering, they need to build something, which is work, right? Building things and doing things and creating things. So I don't like the notion of work-life balance because it separates the two. Whereas I like to look at it, this is it, this is your life. And work is an essential part of that, but not because you have to, but because that's one of the things we want to do, just like we want to experience joy and we want to be healthy and vital and we want to feel connected and have healthy relationships. It's a pillar of building a happy and fulfilled life. I like fulfilled better because happiness comes and happiness goes. That's not a constant. Mm-hmm. And like the eternal pursuit of happiness is, I think, a big mindfuck. It will trip you up.
Agreed.
But, you know, a fulfilled life where you look back, you're like, yeah, I really did something with these years, with this body, with this skill set, with this mind of mine. Requires doing work, quote unquote work, whatever that looks like for you, just as much as it does building relationships or, you know, work on your spirituality or it's just one of the pillars.
Ah, interesting. It's like I see work as, to bring it back to a word that you probably don't like very much, I guess, in terms of different meaning, but purpose, it puts purpose in your day. As opposed to, like, it's the reason that you get out of bed.
Yes, exactly. And I think if you can define it as such, you're very lucky.
Yeah.
And I think that's a reframe a lot of us are making. And that's exactly what work-life balance kind of opposes in my interpretation of it, right?
Okay.
Because if, you know, it's the purpose, it's the reason you get out of bed, that's something that drives you, that pulls you, that excites you. Mm-hmm. And when you look at work-life balance, it always puts it in the naughty corner as work to facilitate your life.
Right.
And so the idea is that they should be one or together.
Yeah, I think work is an essential part of life. And I think when you get to create a work situation, a career in the broadest sense of the word, that doesn't have to be one job. It can be the different things that you do that actually do, you know, pull you out of bed in the morning. Mm. Then you are like ahead of the game.
Right. I think I agree. You know, it's really important to find work or build or create things that you love doing.
Yes. It's the breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, follow the breadcrumbs. And we are kind of often taught this idea that work and making money and needs to be hard, and it can't be something you like and enjoy, because, you know, and that's where my problems with the work-life balance, that it's more the context that it's being used in. Mm. But it's a breadcrumb. It's just one of the breadcrumbs. And if you can follow those breadcrumbs and make those into your work, you're, you know, well on your way.
Yeah, right. What did you study?
Oh, the most random thing. I went to the hotel school. Mm. So I did business administration in The Hague in the Netherlands.
Wow.
And yeah.
How did that happen? So like going to business school at the age of 16, were you a very gifted child?
No. It's a funny system, but I skipped 1 year in school when I was very young. I'm from Amsterdam originally, and in the Netherlands, there's kind of different types of high school, different levels of high school you can do. And right. The one I was doing, you're supposed to finish when you're 17. And I was 16 because I skipped 1 year, and then just really wanted to travel and really wanted to get out of Amsterdam.
Mm.
And the most kind of close to home, yet far away place for me was to go to Tel Aviv. My grandfather lived there at the time. And, you know, fast forward a few months and I moved into the dorms in Tel Aviv. And I remember my parents had to sign this like special waiver that no one was responsible for me because they're like a 16-year-old over here. But I had the time of my life. It was amazing.
What was that like growing up or going from that whole like school life, that sort of, I guess, childhood sort of lifestyle? I mean, you're a bit of an adolescent by the time you finish high school, but then becoming that adult from the age of 16 onwards, was there a contrast between like the life of, you know, uni in Tel Aviv and that kind of life and then growing up in the Netherlands?
Oh, there was a huge contrast. I have to say, like, my home situation wasn't the most stable and necessarily nurturing at the time. So I really wanted to get as far
away.
You wanted
that piece of paper signed. Yeah.
It's like, I am going and it's Israel's as far as I can go. That's where I'm headed.
Nice.
So there was a huge contrast. And I remember, it's funny because I was actually talking to one of my oldest and dearest friends who was my roommate over there 20 years ago. And I remember going there and making a conscious decision to be happy and realizing that it is a choice you can make. Came from kind of a place where I wasn't necessarily feeling that, to just kind of saying, oh, I just don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want to be this scared, sad girl. So I'm just choosing differently. And again, that's the hustle side of me, right? And I did, like, it was like flicking a light switch. And that way of being lasted for like 15 years.
Wow.
Until I realized that now it has brought me very far.
Yeah.
It really did. And now it's time to kind of integrate the two and to not just, because the consequence of just flicking a switch is completely shutting off the other half of that. It's completely ignoring what really is present, which is now, kind of 20 years later, what I'm leaning back into.
It's funny how it's all come full circle.
It is. It really is. And sometimes I look back and you think about the things you do and, you know, kind of just look and think, oh, you know, why? Or that's so stupid or basic or why would you do that? But the more I think about it, the more I realize and the more grateful I am for all those decisions, whether they were good or not, or served me well or not, because you need to experience these things to choose differently. In order to let go of something, both physically and just metaphorically, you need to hold it first. Mm-hmm. You can't let go of something you're not holding.
Yeah.
You can't let go of something you're not owning and saying, this is mine, this is me, I did this, I am this, this happened.
Mm.
So, you need to hold it.
100%. It's almost like I'm recovering from an ankle injury and you don't realize how much you use your ankle for, or like you use the thing that you have to let go of for absolutely everything until you can't have it, you know. Yes. You recognize its importance, and then having to kind of go without it, that's hard.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And it makes you appreciate, you know, those little things, you know, like your ankle. I mean, how often do we walk around thinking, oh, thank God I have ankles that function?
Never.
Until they don't work. Fuck. Mm-hmm. That ankle, I kind of use it all the goddamn time.
Yeah, right. And like it slips me up when I do something, like I go up the stairs and it's just the normal taking a stair, like one footstep a stair. I can't do that right now. And it's like, damn, I take that shit for granted so much. Hang tight, because the next installment of this chat that I have with the wildly inspirational Yaella Reba is coming at ya. So this is part one. We'll be working into part two next week. If you're listening to this and you're up to date, you know, you're going with real time. Or if you're a batchin' lady and you are keen and you're catching up on a few Misadventurous podcast episodes, that's totally cool. Just skip on through to the next episode. And if you want to find out more about Yaella, find her on Instagram at thec.e.ohm, the CEO. Well, that's almost it from me here on Misadventurous. If you dig what you hear and want to keep up to date with every single episode of the Misadventurous podcast, hit subscribe however you're listening to this right now. And if you want to be even more of a legend and help other wayward adventurers find this path, I'd love it if you head on over to iTunes and rate and review this podcast. Go on, 5 stars for all that positivity, right? So until next time, and don't forget, it's the small choices that we make every single day that build up to that big change that you're working towards. So stay with it.